I'm Candace Long with Lessons in the Latter Days, offering biblical commentary to make sense of the times that we're living in. Today's episode is a difficult one. I've had sleepless nights because of it. It's called Post-Pandemic Implications for Ministers. First, I need to assure you that my message is not one of judgment. It is one of hope and restoration. By way of introduction, not everyone who calls themselves Christians lives a consecrated lifestyle. The ones who do, I refer to as Levites, meaning their desire is to live in the presence of the Lord 24/7. This way of life is very precious to the Father, and if you are a minister, you are precious to Him. I wrote a book about this level of consecration called The Levitical Calling, which got some grief in Christian circles because many don't want to read anything related to the Old Testament. For those people, I invite you to look at the last chapter of Isaiah, where the Lord says, after the 7 years of tribulation are finished, that He is going to examine the Jews and Gentiles who survive and choose some of them to be priests and Levites. This tells us the Lord has always and will always have a Levitical people, men and women from every nation whom He has invited to live closest to Him. Now, when the Lord brought His children out of Egypt into the wilderness, He arranged them in a specific way. The tabernacle containing His presence was surrounded by 12 tribes, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the east and west, and their tents were all pointed toward the tabernacle. But those closest to it were 3 Levitical families, the Kohathites, Gershonites, and Merarites, collectively called the Levites. Now, these priests and Levites were His royal guard and given the privilege to steward the things that are precious to the Father. Jesus had His Levites as well. There were 12 apostles surrounding Him, and there were 3 whom He invited closer to His inner sanctum, Peter, James, and John. So bottom line, the call of the Levite requires a different level of consecration than the average Christian experiences. It involves refining and purging anything that could defile. Now, the reason I'm going into this is because one of Satan's primary strategies that I've taught for years is showing up today. And the strategy is this. If the enemy wants to remove God from a place and enthrone himself there, all he has to do is defile the Levites. If he can entice them to invite something forbidden into God's sanctuary, the enemy knows that God's presence will leave. Now, what I finally saw in the middle of the night while tossing and turning over this episode is that the pandemic created an unseen border crisis that no one saw coming, and it relates to this strategy to defile the Levites. Pollute them, and God leaves the building. He removes himself from our cities, leaving them wide open to all of the evil, the chaos, the destruction that we are seeing today. You see, modern-day Levites are the preachers, teachers, intercessors, deliverance ministers, counselors, and worshipers, and we are given territorial assignments. We are to be the godly watch on the wall all across the nation where we serve. We pray for blessings over the people and its leaders. We are spiritually trained to spot dangers and warn people against them. We engage in spiritual warfare against threats to our families and schools, and our homes are to be places of refuge where God's word is taught. This is the Levitical charge. So in 2020, the pandemic hits. Most Christians were overwhelmed by fear and blindsided by the mandates. And millions gave in to the pressure and took the shots, believing everything would be fine and they could go about their ministry travels and serve the Lord as usual. Sounds reasonable. It's just a shot, or so we thought. Now, from a biblical timeline perspective, the vaccination invasion began during Hanukkah in 2020, the same way it happened with Antiochus Epiphanes in 168 BC. Antiochus led the Roman army against the Jewish people. They invaded the temple and polluted it by placing forbidden blood on the altar, along with an image of a false god. And this made it an abomination of desolation. This means that God is bound by his own ordinances laid out in the Torah to destroy that place when a false god is enthroned there. And that is what I'm seeing now. In 2021, I had a revelation while I was celebrating Hanukkah. I was taking note of the Antiochus scheme step by step. It involved five phases: an alliance, an invasion against Jews, a pollution of the temple, the image of a false god set up, and an abomination of desolation. And suddenly I saw the pattern repeated. An alliance in 2020 between Pfizer and Israel. An invasion by injecting an invisible molecular and microscopic army of graphene oxide, polluting the bodily temples of millions of Jews, and possibly sneaking in a spliced DNA gene from Satan himself, which would make it an abomination of desolation. Now you say this is preposterous? What confirmed it is that from the first vaccination during Hanukkah of 2020, exactly 3.5 years later, which is another biblical sign, was the last day of the festival of Sukkot on October 7th, 2023, the exact day when Hamas broke through Israel's border. So biblically speaking, Israel's border was unattended because God's people enthroned another god without their knowledge inside of them. That was the diabolical scheme, the ancient snare prophesied by the prophet Daniel 2,500 years ago, and it's showing up now in the United States. Now, to confirm that what I'm laying out here is both biblical and predictable, remember Jesus' comparison of the very end of days, saying it would be as it was in the days of Noah. This is exactly how it was then. Nephilim blood was mixed with human blood, and 99% of the people became polluted, resulting in a flood to cleanse the earth. In the middle of the night, the Lord brought me back to the Levitical encampment lesson. I believe now the reason the atmosphere has shifted is because so many Levites who had served as watchmen on the wall, interceding for our cities, have been polluted and defiled, unbeknownst to them, through this vaccine snare. And as it happened in Israel, the protective border came down and the enemy gained access into our cities and is wreaking havoc. This is the unseen border crisis no one saw coming. Now, before I continue, let me say things are not hopeless for ministers who took the vaccine. For the rest of our time, I want to lay out the biblical precedent that God teaches us from the Torah in how to deal with this. There are three stages a Levite must go through: examination, purification, and rededication. There is every hope that Levites who have fallen into this snare can be cleansed and restored to their watches on the wall of our cities. The survival of our nation depends on it. Stage 1 is a Levitical examination. In order to do teshuvah, which is biblical repentance, you have to address two things. Number one, what is the enemy accusing you of in the courts of heaven? And number two, what's in the Torah that has been violated? We know from the first chapter of Job that Satan has free access into the heavenly councils and always brings accusation against us. Knowing how to make a proper defense before the courts is an important spiritual discipline that Christians need to know about. The primary issue is that most devout Christians and Jews had no idea the vaccine could be dangerous, so they have no defense recorded in the courts of heaven. Now, some of you might say, Jesus died for all of my sins. I don't have to worry about this. That's lazy. We are each responsible to walk out our salvation. When we offend God, we have to name that sin and renounce it. And that's when we apply Jesus' blood sacrifice to cleanse it. The abbreviated Torah passage I want us to look at is in Leviticus 17, quote, "If any man of the house of Israel or of the strangers that live among them eats any blood, I will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls." And later on he repeats two more times, "For the life of every creature is the blood of it, and whoever eats it shall be cut off," unquote. First, you need to understand some of the Jewish doctrine around the passage. When the Lord uses the phrase, "If you do such and such, you shall be cut off," that doesn't necessarily refer to eternal damnation. Typically, it refers to premature death. Secondly, when it says the life of every creature is in the blood, the Hebrew word for life is nephesh, which means the soul. So the belief of our forefathers is that the blood of any creature contains its soul. And because blood was used to cover or atone for our sin, it should never be taken inside the body. Let's look at the New Testament now so you'll see this principle repeated. In Acts 15, the early church wrestled with what to do with Gentiles who were coming to faith in Messiah, whether they had to do everything in the law that Jews had to do. And here's how James, the Lord's brother who was the leader of the Jerusalem believers, answered, quote, "My judgment is that we should not trouble those Gentiles who turn to God, but should write them to abstain from the pollutions of idols, and from unchastity, and from what is strangled, and from blood," unquote. So out of these four things, the vaccine could pose danger in two out of those four Torah violations. The other morning, I went to the bathroom, and while relieving my bladder, I was pondering one of the prayers that devout Jews pray every day, doing just what I was doing. Here's the prayer. "Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who fashioned man with wisdom and created within him many openings and many cavities. It is obvious and known before your throne of glory that if but one of them were to be ruptured, or but one of them were to be blocked, it would be impossible to survive and to stand before you. Blessed are you, Hashem, who heals all flesh and acts wondrously." This was such an interesting prayer that I wanted to learn more. The sages explained that when God created man, he gave him the gift of wisdom. And secondly, God used wisdom in creating man through the delicate balance of the organs. And they wrote, "It is wondrous that the spiritual soul fuses with the physical body to create a human being." So Judaism teaches that soul and body are miraculously intertwined. Therefore, by allowing the blood of another creature inside of us, we destroy this union, and the presence of this foreign blood begins to create destructive changes in the body. Now, time doesn't permit repeating all of my findings about the vaccine because I've been researching and writing about this since 2021. But let me quote a section from another episode that I'll put a link to in these notes as well. Quote, "What Antiochus literally did was carve a likeness of Jupiter and put the statue on the altar of the temple. An abomination of desolation has to be an exact likeness. It could be a picture, a carved statue, a fingerprint, or a DNA sample. All of these are exact likenesses of the person. Now, with genetic engineering so advanced, we are able to splice a DNA gene from the blood of Satan himself, then replicate it, put it inside a vial, and inject it into people. Yes, the thought is disgusting and diabolical, but what you need to know is that with today's technology, it is doable." All of this was confirmed by a book written by Nobel Prize-winning chemist Jennifer Doudna called A Crack in Creation, Gene Editing and the Unthinkable Power to Control Evolution. Doudna is the one who pioneered the CRISPR gene editing technology. As I was reading about the trials and errors in how they developed it and why, my antennas went crazy reading this next sentence because it was the missing piece I had been looking for. She wrote, quote, "Viral vectors are one of the most effective ways we know to insert genes into a cell's genome and alter the genetic code of living organisms," unquote. A, quote, "viral vector is a delivery system, like a UPS truck, and a virus is genetically able to carry a DNA gene from one organism into somebody else's bloodstream and alter their genetic code." Now, what was a shock was realizing that the COVID vaccine was not the end game, as I and a lot of other people thought. Rather, the vaccine was the means. It was the vehicle through which the highest echelons of power could insert what they really wanted to get inside the bodies of every Jew, which was an actual blood gene from Satan himself. They knew how much this would anger the Lord and that he would leave them. Yes, this is despicable, but remember, these beings are not fully human and don't think like you and I do. That's why Daniel called this final kingdom terrible and dreadful. Let's say a minister named Suzanne Morris was an intercessor with oversight over a geographic territory, and she takes the vaccine of her own free will but is ignorant of the dangers. Satan makes accusations against her in the heavenly councils and says, "Consider Suzanne Morris. She willingly took part of my blood, my DNA, into her body. She chose me to protect her against the virus, not you. So I claim her for myself, and I demand the territory that she was assigned to guard." Now, sadly, that would be a reasonable accusation in the heavenly court. Because Suzanne has not renounced her decision, God has no choice but to relinquish that territory into Satan's hands. This scenario would explain the exponential growth of evil, crime, murders, and dangers all over the country. What I am praying is for this episode to wake up the Levitical army, who are still beloved of God, but who are trapped in an ancient snare. Let me outline the way that God gave to set you free. Stage 2 is purification. Would it surprise you to learn that our Jewish forefathers faced this exact crisis back in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra? God never leaves us without hope. He gives us a picture to learn from. After the temple was finished and ready to be rededicated, the nation found itself in a similar circumstance. You see, the high priest at the time, Eliashib, had a connection with a powerful man named Tobiah, who was an Ammonite. Eliashib made a terrible mistake by not only allowing Tobiah inside the temple, he actually let him move into one of the apartments and live there. So in Nehemiah 13, the whole thing was brought to light when they read the Torah out loud. And the Torah clearly stated that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God. So in essence, the high priest allowed forbidden blood into the temple, opening a door to a curse, and had no clue. Thankfully, when Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem, he discovered it. And here are his words, quote, "I came to Jerusalem, and I then discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah, preparing for him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And I was very angry, and I threw out all the household furniture of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I gave orders, and they cleansed the chambers, and I brought back the vessels of the house of God back into that room. I chastised the officials and said, 'Why is the house of God forsaken?' And I gathered them together and set them in their stations," unquote. God could have wiped them all out, but through Nehemiah shows us today how to purify your temples. Verbally confess what you did and renounce your decision to take the vaccine. Cast out everything belonging to a foreign DNA. Dismantle your spiritual altar and pull down every molecular activity that may have entered your body. Loose yourself from anything pertaining to the evil one and throw him off your altar. Verbally cast out and cancel every vestige of chemtrails and stray nanoparticles that have assignment against you, confessing God's promise that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, thanking God that this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, according to Isaiah 54:17. Place yourself once again under the lordship of Jesus the Messiah, whose blood covers every sin, and ask him to heal, cleanse, and purify your body, soul, and spirit. For stage 3, rededication, I recommend you ask a minister that you respect to anoint you and rededicate you for the Lord's service. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus promises when we confess, and return to your watch on the wall, praying over your assigned territory, closing every breach that the enemy has made. May the Lord bless you as you model before others how to be restored when we fall into a snare. This could happen to any one of us. Our Father knows the wiles of the devil. He knows you would never have submitted willingly to such a scheme. But praise God for His Word, which teaches us how to return and be restored to His service. I want to thank you for being with me today. If you want to share this episode and the links I will put in the description notes, go to candacelong.com/podcasts and look for the episode Post-Pandemic Implications for Ministers. Be sure to visit my website and subscribe for updates on the latest resources. I hope you join me again next time. I'm Candace Long, and you've been listening to Lessons in the Latter Days. God bless.